Node 4-7-3-3-9-0. Connected to Node 4-7-3-3-8. Node 5-0-0-1-5. Connected to Node 4-7-3-3-8.
KR4DGA, KR4DGA, this is K2PCB.
Judge of distance, you know, my wife will go, well, how far is this, or how many feet is this? And I can tell her within, like, the quarter foot, you know, a 50 by something room, like, to the, at least a half foot. And she goes, how did you know? Just, like, my sense of time. She goes, what time is it? And I'll say, well, it's about, you know, 3:04 or whatever. And it's within, like, 10 minutes without even looking at the clock.
Dude, you have a quantum brain. That's cool. I don't think I have quantum powers. Sometimes, like, I know ahead of time what time I'm going to have to take a number two, but that's about it. N6TTC.
No.
Actually, there wouldn't be a quantum brain. Quantum theory, both space and time are irrelevant, and in relativity, space and time are relative, so that would be a Newtonian brain.
Eight. Node 5-1-0.
Darn it, Tom, I was listening to silence on my node and I switched to RF just in time to hear you say Newtonian brain and then N6TTC.
Okay, I just said it wouldn't be a quantum brain because in quantum theory, both space and time are irrelevant. In relativity, space and time are relative. To have them as constant as he could pick out space and time, that would be a Newtonian brain, would it not?
I'm going to leave that one to you, Tom. I'm not sure. I do enjoy thinking about the quantum stuff, though. I was just getting a little bit too deep into an article reading about China mining helium-3 off of the moon so that they can cool the quantum CPUs down to operating temperature. And that got me thinking.
Well, that's not what they're using it for. Helium-3 is a very, very good fuel for sustained fusion. The French did an entire survey of the moon a few years back looking to mine helium-3 also for their fusion reactor they're building. Yes, so there's quite a bit for that. I just read an article this morning right after the coffee break, Ned, that was saying that a quantum computer in China completed in 4 minutes what it would have taken a traditional computer 2.6 billion years to complete. And I thought to myself, well, maybe now they can find that Malaysian jetliner that's been missing for so long.
Or we can actually bring the information number back so you can call 411 and ask them where you put your socks and they'll really be able to tell you.
Well, most of the advances in quantum computing are not advertised except in the scientific journals, being as that many of the programs are classified or they're kept quiet, that type of thing. China is using it as a promotional thing to brag and to crow about or whatnot, Lord knows how accurate the information is coming out of these situations, but yeah, they're certainly doing things with it, as are many other laboratories. They're just not crowing about it, that's the difference. Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. 4 minutes of computations gave 2.6 billion years of computations on a classical computer. So, I guess things are about to speed up a touch.
Yep, I think that's great. And the way I understand it is that it's because it's able to go through all of the possibilities at one time instead of in a linear fashion. So that might, you know, I mean, think about how that's going to improve uploading pictures to Dropbox. It's just going to do all of them instantly at the same time. And then it won't have to do one at a time. I'm just kidding. That's like the lowest realm of, the lowest use of a high-tech system. Can you organize my pictures for me?
Well, from what I understand, it has to do with the development of the qubit as opposed to the bit. The qubit can be a 1, a 0, or both, and that act of being both changes the entire situation. So, it's really quite an interesting technology. But as you were alluding to earlier, apparently it runs at very high temperatures, and it's very difficult to cool. So it'd be interesting to see how they. Yeah, it used to be the same way with Intel chips used to run super hot. So we'll see what comes of it. It's quite interesting. Hopefully, I'll live long enough to see something interesting come from it.
It's the mind. I can wrap my head around the qubit. You know, I've kind of practiced thinking about the wave particle experiment, and it took me a while to wrap my head around that, but once I did, the qubit, you know, it makes a good deal of sense on how a computer can, how a computer can say, well, this is either this or this is either this, but I'm going to use it as both at the same time to come up with, you know, my answer. It's kind of like how we use AI. They called it, what, a black cube. We put information in, we get information out, but we're not exactly sure what happens in between. That kind of stuff is incredible, but it's the going back in time thing that really boggles my mind, where they can quantum entangle something that is so far away, but then so far away is also so far back in time. And so saying that you could change something that's already been the way that it was for a billion years and you could change it right now a billion years ago, that's what really fries my brain cells. N6CTC.
Well, that is a great simplification of it, yes, but it's not so much. The only time you really get quantum tunneling is when two particles are created in the same time at the same space from the same energy, and then they get separated. Those two are quantumly entangled. Some particles don't see time. For instance, the photon does not see time. The electron does not see time. There are some equations in quantum theory that allows the electron to flow both forward and backwards in time. And I think that's probably what you're touching on there. So you can make a change now that as it goes back in time would change something back then. There's no such thing as now. See, that's one of the things that Einstein taught us was there is no now. Everybody's now is slightly different than everybody else's now, and the further you are apart, the more different your now is than their now. Even though our technology right now shows us that we can dilate time by either traveling at extremely high speeds or putting ourselves in proximity to a very high or very deep gravity well, we can dilate time doing that. Time can also be dilated at very slow speeds, but across very, very long distances. So, for instance, if there is an alien riding a bicycle towards you, and he's, a billion light years away, and he's riding towards you, he's actually seeing about 100 years to 300 years in your past. If he is riding away from you and looks over his shoulder back at you, he's actually seeing somewhere between 100 and 300 years in your future. So you're saying to yourself, well, wait a minute, the future doesn't exist yet. Well, to him, it does. His now slice slices through your future 300 years in advance of where you are right now. So, yeah, you can spend an awful lot of time going down that rabbit hole.
I prefer going down that rabbit hole than some of the other rabbit holes that go down, like police body cam videos and things like of that nature. I get it. So if something has already been quantumly entangled, then you can go back and change it. But you can't go quantum entangle something that's far away and in the past now. It would have to have been created at the same time. Was I understanding that correctly?
Yes, as we understand it now, that is correct, yes.
Cool. That's really neat. I don't ever get tired of thought experiments, especially when they involve time and space. But I appreciate you helping me to understand that a little bit better. But yeah, I do tend to get some of the oversimplifications from the internet because it does, like the particle wave experiment, it took me a really long time to, you know, visualize, understand what was going on with the observer and how, you know, what we don't know about the experiment, but it's just one of those things that we can see it, we can see that it happens, but we don't have an answer for why it happens. Kind of takes you back to when we were a fledgling species looking up in the sky and saying, well, that happens. I can predict that it happens, but I have no idea why it happens.
Well, we do know why it happens, and it has to do with observation, but that's a very long explanation. So I will simplify it greatly for you. There was a very, very accomplished physicist by the name of Richard Feynman. And Richard Feynman was asked one day, is light a particle or a wave? And his response was, yes.
That makes sense. That's like the kind of answer that my kids give me when I ask them, like, do you want pizza or spaghetti?
There you go. And now I will also tell you another story, which has been, it was anecdotal for quite some time, but it's actually been proven true because someone found the article. Richard Feynman was featured on the cover of some magazine. I believe it was Time magazine. I'm not sure which one, but in any case, and billed as the current smartest man in the world. And they went and interviewed his mother and said, you know, how do you feel about your son being the smartest man in the world? And she looked up and said, my little Richie, the smartest man in the world? Oh, my God, we're doomed.
It's like a face only a mother could love. You're like always disparaging your son. Like, this mom?
Yeah, just like dear old mom used to say, not bad for a retarded child.
I had a bad habit of saying the other one, too, is when somebody says, man, you didn't do that right. I said, just like dad used to say.
How you doing, Mr. Engineer Ryan? KO6 IHJ, you get that cage figured out?